Hello and welcome everybody to the Health Ranger Report. I have a special edition for you today. I've got Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter, in town, in person, in the studio. And he was taking a tour of the Health Ranger store, the whole operation, the warehouse, the manufacturing, and we were also playing around with some fun equipment that maybe Texans might happen to own.
Love them.
So yeah, thanks for showing up here, man. It's great to see you in person.
Well, it's a pleasure. I'll tell you, I didn't know what I was getting into when I came down for this visit. Checking out your operation, checking out the manufacturing for, you know, the entire Health Ranger line. I'm telling you, I was just absolutely floored. I knew it would be good because of the altitude with which you operate in that space, but to see this operation this big, this sophisticated, that kind of equipment, that investment that's obviously ever expanding, I'm just blown away. I couldn't have aligned myself, you know, with it's always good to start at the top. So if we're going to put together what we're going to put together for the Patriot Street Fighter line, I'm totally excited about what I saw today.
Well, I mean, you're too kind, man.
Seriously. Ask the Patriot Street Fighter Nation. I don't blow sunshine up anybody's ass.
That's true.
I'm going to tell you exactly what I think.
Well, you know? I mean, well, it's much appreciated. Yeah, I didn't invite you on to say any of that, but
I had to.
We haven't shown very many people. I mean, I've never publicized our operation because I think some people, like their view is that it's much smaller than it is.
Yeah, probably. It's good to be left that way, I guess.
Yeah, sometimes. Probably so. Yeah. Yeah.
But I had to say what I saw, and I'm excited for me. Excited for me.
Yeah, exactly.
And my people.
Well, let's talk about your people and what you're doing, because that's really what I invited you on to talk about.
Yeah.
Because I want to introduce you more to my audience. And, you know, I first became aware of you just a few months ago, really, right after the election. I think it was your November 12th. Podcast, right? Wasn't that the one?
I think that was the one. Yeah, the November 12th.
And I think somebody had pirated that and from your YouTube channel, and they posted it on Brighteon. And I'm always looking on Brighteon to see what's on there. And I saw you for the first time, and I was really blown away by your passion, your message, your dedication to being not just a street fighter, but I would say a fighter for humanity. So that's what got me introduced to you. Can you explain to our listeners what it is, in your words, that you do?
Well, yeah, I think I actually had somebody I'm doing a show with tomorrow put up a promo and had me list. I'm going to be with Dave Rodriguez tomorrow and Dr. Chanel, and she had me listed as Street Fighter. So I had to type in there, like, hey, can you make sure it says Patriot Street Fighter? Because I was in Vegas, and another great lady said, hey, you know, we should see if we can get an interview with Street Fighter. And I'm like, I need to change that, because it basically says I'm a guy who's out there, gets in street fights, which is not what I do.
That's not what you do.
No, I'm a patriot fighting for humanity and fighting for the nation. And I'm doing it the style of a street fighter. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, that there needs to be a roughing up right now against this criminal cabal. And that means using the rhetoric that I use, dragging those cockroaches out into the light and then spotlighting them with my rhetoric and showing people, number one, here's who they are, number one. Number two, you have no reason to revere them or fear them. They're scumbags. There are people that have wormed their way into positions of power because they like hanging around low frequency people in terms of consciousness. That's what they gravitate toward. They don't see that there's anything wrong with lying, cheating, stealing, murdering, whatever these people do that have driven humanity into the dirt. They don't think there's anything wrong with that. All they know is they need to be in control and they need to win, you know, by using any means necessary.
They do.
And when I finally got to this point with my frustration over decades at having walked away from elective politics after 16 years of being active and then sitting on the sidelines for nine, I saw what Trump brought to the table. I'm like, finally, there's a street fighter, right? There's a Patriot Street Fighter. And then watch the vicious, vicious machine go against the most existential threat they've ever had. I'm like, oh, I'm joining this fight.
So you saw it right away that they were just lying and fabricating everything against Trump to try to destroy him. You weren't fooled by the media lies.
Oh, not for a second. I mean, first of all, he became my hero within a few minutes of doing his announcement speech, June of 2015. And one of the things he did was he pointed right at the cameras that were there to film that event and called him fake news. I nearly fell over.
Yeah, that was
great. Fell in love with the man. I'm like, holy Mary, Mother of God. This, they talk in American politics, you never grab the third rail, which was Social Security. And then they talk now, that was during the Bush era, which he did. And then there's the fourth rail of American politics you don't touch. This is the holy rail that he grabbed a hold of, and he called the media what they are. They're fake news. I just added in a little seasoning to it. They're scumbags, they're fork and liars, whatever, you know, spicing I can put on that just to make sure people are clear.
yeah, you do. Yeah. People definitely get that. Now your popularity has, I would say, exploded over the last 5 months, I think, especially since the election of last year. And, you know, your ability to, I think, explain what people are thinking or feeling or suspecting themselves is pretty amazing. But what's your view of what's happening? Where your audience is growing by leaps and bounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're still the same person you always were, but what's different now? What's happening that your popularity is exploding?
I think it's probably because above and beyond anything else, I am my audience.
It's not an act for you?
What's that?
It's not an act? You're not acting like the Patriot Street Fighter?
No, I mean, I am my audience as a human being, as a person.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just playing with you.
Oh, the Patriot Street. No,
I'm
because
some people, they're wearing a mask. They have a fake personality.
Yeah.
But that's not you.
No, I mean, there's nothing fake about it. I'm fucking pissed because of these scumbags.
Right.
And I think the rise of this Patriot Street Fighter nation is growing is because I'm them. I am my audience because I'm simply saying the things that are on my mind and have been on my mind for a very long time, except I'm saying it now with two aspects to it. I'm pissed. I'm pissed because I've seen what they've done to humanity. I've learned through the military back channel intelligence that started coming out, the realities of how bad it really is and what they're doing to the children. And the second thing is that I'm not afraid of them. And I'm trying to help people understand they're not to be feared. They're afraid of you. That's why they stack the world in such a way that they win and we lose. They can't compete evenly with humanity.
Right.
That's why they write the laws that they won't ever follow, but they force us into.
It's true.
That's right. How they facilitate the upward movement of anybody in industry and business and careers in Hollywood. They facilitate the satanic order up through there because they can't compete on even ground. They can't go toe-to-toe with the high-level human consciousness of which we are made out of as God's creation. So they stack the planet's rules in a way that they can utilize their criminality and their lack of ethics against us, using our virtues against us. And so I figured that out. I needed people to understand they fear us. We have no reason to fear them.
Good point. They do fear us. That's why they've built a razor wire fence around the Capitol building, by the way. So to distance themselves from the people they claim to represent, right? I mean, if they were politicians of the people, wouldn't they embrace the people instead of building a military camp? And meanwhile, the border's wide open, you know? So it's like, well, yeah, we need soldiers, but on the border. But so you're not afraid to talk about the child trafficking, the pedophilia, the Epstein tie-ins to politicians and so on. That's, you know, that's a subject that not a lot of people are comfortable getting into.
Yeah. I mean, quite honestly, if people aren't comfortable getting into it here, that's their problem, not mine. Because I know the people that are very comfortable with it being talked about are the children that are being brutally sodomized right now, tortured, and bloodletted for the adrenochrome that their adrenal glands are pumping out to feed the drug machine of these satanic animals. So
that's pretty well said, yeah.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, I have no need to pull any punches because, you know, people talk about all things they bring biblical into it, the tribulation. And one of the questions I asked, well, let me ask you this. If you don't think the tribulation's here, why don't you go into the underground tunnels of the people who've been there for decades being tortured? Ask them if the tribulation is here.
Right.
They're going to say, yeah, it's here. So yeah, I'm willing to talk about it because at the end of the day, if we do not openly identify the enemy and call it for what it is, or talk about what they're doing, we can never defeat it. And what's the price I have to pay? I don't know. I wanted my anonymity, but I don't have it now.
That's true.
That's what I wanted. And I've maintained my anonymity in my life the whole way through. My privacy's always been paramount. And but at this point, I know what I'm opening myself up to. Short of being taken out, they can do things to try to destroy my life, my reputation. That's expected. And whatever may come, will it have been worth it for me? 100%. Because if all this goes away and the Patriot Street Fighter Army finds a reason to revile me, I know that I stand for the kids. And I know that I'm here for a reason on this planet, and that's to be a warrior for injustice. And I will be happy because I serve my purpose on the planet. My purpose on the planet isn't here to make everybody like me. It's here to fight for humanity. They hate Trump, many people, but he still fights for them.
Well, that's exactly right. Now, one of the things I really like about your work is that you have an ability to maintain a sense of optimism that even sometimes, I have days, I do a daily podcast, and sometimes the response is, man, that was pretty dark, It's like, wow, they're going to kill billions of people and everything. But I can turn to you and get optimism. But importantly, sometimes you and I see things differently. And yet, that's totally okay because we're humans, right? We're not reading some script. Nobody's telling us what to say. So sometimes you're going to have different views. But what do you attribute to your sense of a really relentless optimism, I would call it?
I think probably because I understand the power of humanity and human consciousness. And that's not just idle rhetoric. It is from my own life experiences. I mean, when I was a kid, I come from a lower middle class background, hardworking, family, father, ex-military, went to boot camp for the first 18 years of my life. That's how I was raised. But anything I've ever accomplished in my life shouldn't have been done. I mean, even when I was young, I was, landing on a national competitive bodybuilding stage in short time from where I started. I mean, my sophomore year in high school, going into high school, we had to lift weights. I'm a basketball player. That's my best sport, to the point where I'd be in my height of my training career, I'd be 265 pound muscle head. I'd go out on a basketball court. Nobody would want to pick me. I'd tear them apart. I'd stand outside shooting jumpers until they come out to try to, stop it. And then I could get around anybody, handle the ball with both hands. I could do all kinds of stuff. They're like, how's this even possible? That's what I did for 3,000 hours of my life before I became a muscle head. Uh-huh. But so in that world, I was the weakest guy on the football team. We did strength and agility testing at the end of the summer, lifting weights, which we had to get a uniform. And out of 67 players, we put the name up, our names on a list, and I couldn't find mine for 5 minutes. I'm like, it's not here. Well, I wasn't looking at the bottom. I was a dead last. I was it. So, and I was like, I was a weak guy. I was a good athlete, but I was skinny, weak. And I decided that's never going to happen to me again, that humiliation. Because people remember who's number one, who's the last.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Right. So number one goes on the wall in the weight room at the high school, strength and agility champion. So
wow.
I went to work in a crappy basement with crappy little plastic weights. And I went to work. And so 2 years later, now I'm that guy, number one. I'm the guy that's got four school records, strength records.
Uh-huh.
So, and I still was like 165 pounds. Then you fast forward to stepping on stage for the first time, which a friend invited me to do it because he came in from the Army. He was a big guy. And miraculously, I placed in this contest and I caught the bug and I went to the national level within the next 4 years. So
it was like professional bodybuilding.
I never turned pro. I retired
before
that.
What do you call the sport?
Competitive bodybuilding?
Competitive bodybuilding.
Yeah, I was an amateur. Yeah. When I got to the collegiate nationals in 1988, and 1989 was when it started to, I was very marketable. So I had the genetic structure and I didn't just look at throwing weights around, building this big, massive picture. I saw the sport, my canvas was my body and resistance machines and weights were my paintbrush. I'm painting a flowing picture. Although it was big and extreme, it had to look, have a pleasing look to it, aesthetically pleasing. Uh-huh. So, and because of that, as a heavyweight, I would beat guys that were 10, 20 pounds heavier than me on the stage, but I looked bigger because I could bring down the parts of my structure is what it is, but I could make parts, I could pack a lot of muscle on a medium frame, but I could, the way I built it, it had such a pleasing look to it. But here's the thing. look where I started. And if you would have said back in those years, you'll end up on any stage in competitive bodybuilding would have been a joke. But I learned that I outworked everybody. I worked harder and paid attention to every detail. I worked longer. I was committed more than anybody I had ever met, to the point when I was training at Golds in Venice, Mr. Olympia guys at that level were watching me train like, who is this guy?
Wow.
And I was quiet. I wasn't a loud, you know, weight banging guy, just enormous quiet intensity and focus. Wow. And they would watch me. And my girlfriend taught me that. But here's the thing. How'd that happen? So I walked away at a pivotal moment because I wanted to be a Navy fighter pilot. So I walk away, same thing, you know. You don't know what you can accomplish. And I went for 8 months. I shaved off all this weight and I started studying for my AQT-FAR exams, taught myself jet propulsion, aerodynamics, electrical wiring, went back to all my academics from algebra clear up through high school, calculus, integral calculus, you know, geometry, all that stuff, college level stuff. I retaught it all. Then I went and took exams and I scored in the top 10 percentile, you know, where the Navy was at that time, including Annapolis people and all that. So I was a lock candidate, you know, for naval aviation. Dick Cheney's DEFSEC under Bush 1, cutting back the Reagan buildup. They hammered aviation. Boom, it ended before it started.
Wow.
So, but I thought, oh my goodness, I now got to a point where they're looking at me, this is a top tier candidate. And anyway, so I've seen these things happen to the point where when I finally was nearly killed, and basically, you know, faded to black momentarily for however long, I went to the other side and came back. And then I was left from this catastrophic crash on my Harley Davidson to paralysis, wreckage, completely destroyed. So I wake up 11 days later. I went from a high performance athlete all of my adult life to being trapped in a wrecked hall that I couldn't get out of. And again, through all the things that I've done, I just realized that if you make a decision to fight for what you want, and I went to war on my body for 4 years, and I overcame the paralysis on my left side, brought my life back. Now, here's a point. I'm just another guy sitting here talking to you. My mission is to wake people up to their own part. God didn't reach down and say, there's Scott McKay, hit him with a thunderbolt, and he can do all these things. It has nothing to do with that. The thunderbolt hit all of us. I just was so afraid, more afraid of being nothing than being hurt in life, that I was willing to humiliate myself and be embarrassed if it was in public speaking, whatever it was. I was more afraid of not, you know, feeling I'm worthwhile than to be embarrassed or hurt or whatever. And what I learned is that all of us have it, and I have got to help people, you know, find a way to get in them, pull it out, show it to them. This is who you really are. And I'm confident in where we go from here, because I'm going to continue to do that till people realize how special they are. And they say, you know what? We are. We're God's children.
You know, and, people you know. Listening to this, I mean, what you're describing is very dramatic to people who haven't been through it. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about dying and coming back and your body being literally, physically shattered. Mm-hmm. In ways that you've described on your own podcast and so on. But then coming back with this internal strength, this fortitude, this just raw will to overcome things, in a way that's turned into a blessing for you that you are now using to empower others and put out a message that resonates with a lot of people. And, you know, no one wants to go through what you described going through. But you've been there. You've been to hell and back. You know, you've suffered with just tormenting pain, probably for months straight, right? But from that, you are now able to take all of that experience and focus it like a laser to help other people say, yes, you can overcome the worst thing that you could imagine. Mm-hmm. And what's happening in our world today, it's bad. Mm-hmm. But it's not as bad as what you already overcame, in other words.
Yeah, and here's the thing. There's levels of suffering that we endure. Take the person that found out they're getting divorced, right? Blindsided. There's nothing worse. You know, you're being rejected by the person that loves you. You may still be in love with them, or even if not, it just broke up. There's a failure. that pain that you endure emotionally is absolutely crippling and devastating. I've had people that are some of the most powerful people in banking in this nation. If I said the name, people probably recognize it. I was with that person when that happened to them. Same person, making millions a year, but I was the one that got leaned on and explained, look, trust me, in 1 year from now, what you're going to become in dealing with this is you're now going to discover who you really are. And I walk them through that, talk them through that. And I've just done this with people in the wellness industry or whatever, and it always becomes the same. They realize that pain, no matter what it is, it's overcomable, if that's a word. And what you become when you get on the other side of it, you feel this personal power that nobody can threaten you anymore. Uh-huh. You don't live in fear of what might happen, whether it is that kind of a pain, because you think, okay, I got through this divorce, and you feel powerful again, and you're no longer afraid of it. So now if you find, hopefully, your soulmate, you don't hang on to it with steel grip because I can't lose this or I'm nothing again. You realize, no, you're not nothing. You find out who you really are when you endure things. I just don't want people to have to be as slow learning and as dense as I was that it finally God said, okay, sledgehammer him. He's not getting it. Sledgehammer.
Right. You know,
nobody has to go through that.
Well, but that process of being red-pilled or waking up or just achieving that internal consciousness, I think that it's difficult for a lot of people to get to that point without some kind of tragedy that they go through. It's almost like hitting bottom establishes a kind of freedom. And from the freedom, you can then explore who you really are or meant to be. At least I see that, you know, in many people. Because like someone who's got a life and everything's going well for them, everything's easy, there are no challenges, you know, like they're a liberal on YouTube. Never get censored, never get shut down, get promoted on top of the search results and everything, right? Life is easy. They never become great people,
right?
Because it's too damn easy for them.
Yeah. And you know, they there's always, as we know, opportunity in every adversity. There just is. But here's the thing. Why I believe so much in people is this. I told you this earlier today, when I was laying in that rehab hospital, completely destroyed. I was told what I was told. I wasn't going to come back to what I am now. But I remember the person that I was married to at the time, you know, was bringing up about the future and what the future might hold, which I thought was a horrible time to bring it up. I'm just coming out of fighting for my life.
Yeah.
Right. And I just remember looking at this person. I said, you know me. I'm going to turn this into an asset. I said, I know how bad this is. I mean, I'm destroyed. I know how bad this is, but I'm going to turn this into an asset. I don't know how yet, but I'm going to. How did I know that? Because I said I was. And by saying I was putting the seeds in my head that I am going to fight this thing and I'm going to get back and I'm going to show people that we all have this power.
There you go.
That's what I was driving for the next 4 years, living in poverty. I wasn't on disability. I lost everything I owned. And it was enormous pain every day because when you're that badly broken, you don't want to move because every move is painful. So I had to go on attack and ramp that pain up times 10 every single day. But I also knew that I'm going to show myself how freaking tough I am. You know, all these little mind games that we play, because we all are scared shitless. Every one of us. People might look at me and say, wow, I can see how. No, you weren't there when the doubts and the insecurities and the fear that I wouldn't come back or looking at how, you know, I never let myself feel sorry for myself, but I would think of, you know, how far backwards I'd fallen. I lost everything I owned. A lot of people go away. They only come back when you came back and said, well, I'd have been there, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Their people just are moving away from you. And I just thought to myself, all I have to focus on is winning this battle. And that's all I focused on.
You were physically shattered, emotionally, also really
financially.
Hundreds of thousands
of dollars in debt. Somebody canceled my health insurance before the crash. And when I found out about it and corrected it, then I ended up being left with hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical debt, which I never bankrupted. So I got stuck with, because of what somebody else did by choice, left me financially devastated, which I never right. bankrupted either.
Right.
So I had all that piled on top of me. But again, I made a choice not to bankrupt all that away, and I still haven't.
So when you speak to people today, I mean, it's almost like it's a miracle of perseverance that you came through all that with the ability to continue to communicate as the Patriot Street Fighter. And I think that that name is well earned, given the way you had to claw back from that devastating situation.
Yeah. The Patriot Street Fighter thing just came out by accident. I did the video, right? I've been doing a radio show for 10 months. And I did that live stream to explain to people what's going on with this military sting operation called an election. And it went nuclear. And when people started coming at me, one guy said, Ron said, I looked at I saw the video, and then I binged watch you for 2 days. And then I went and found he's the one that runs the Patriot Street Fighter line.
Okay.
And he said, and he's the one that connected me with, told me about you, connected me with, a few other people, Charlie Ward and other shows I did, Robert David Steele, love these guys. But he said, I looked at your Twitter profile and you have your description of you. And then at the bottom, it says Q Patriot Street Fighter. He said, drop the Q. You are the Patriot Street Fighter. And I was like, okay, that's cool.
That's all right.
That's where that came from.
Well, so we're about to wrap this up anyway, but tell people then where they can find you're doing videos, you're doing new channels on YouTube because they keep banning you and so on. But how can people connect with what you're doing?
They can go to scottmckay.us. That's my main website. I'm still fighting that little tickle in my throat, so bear with me for a second.
All right, scottmckay.us.
Okay. So scottmckay.us. People can go there. You can connect to, they say, where can I get the Patriot Street Fighter ball cap and shirts, all that, save the kids. Go there. There's links to it. You can find the link to the existing YouTube channel that I'm still on, Patriot Street Fighter 7. That link is there. And then patriotsriseup.com. That's a mobile connect. It connects people to Twitter, Twitter and all these other things. So scottmckay.us is the main website.
Okay.
They can connect with, the Patriot Street Fighter gear. They can connect with our Patriot Street Fighter 7 channel. Of course, they go away. Once I keep firing away, they take me down. And I have a Telegram broadcast channel. It's just I broadcast what's going on. If they take us down, here's where we are. And I think that link may be on the website. If not, I'll get it up there. But that's how they can stay in touch with me every time they, nuke me again and I got to build back another channel. They can kind of figure out where we are.
Okay, and you're also posting videos on Brighteon and Rumble and BitChute and... I guess wherever else.
Yeah, all my work goes up to those. So I'm not hard to find.
Yeah.
But I'm not easy to find either. So because we bounce around a bit. But yeah, that's pretty much how they can find me. Eventually, I'll find you. Don't worry.
Eventually, I'll find you.
Yeah.
Nice bumper sticker.
Yeah, how about it?
Well, look, Scott, I really appreciate you taking the time. You came to visit me and tour our whole operation here in Texas. It's pretty awesome to be able to hang out with you in person. And I was on your show. Thanks for doing that.
It was a great show.
I just want to thank you for all that you're doing and, the determination that you have to fight for humanity. It's so rare these days. And I think it can only come from somebody like you who has been through a lot of adversity. This is not a position that someone can just have handed to them, period.
Yeah, I'm fortunate. I'm blessed to have had those. I think I was blessed with a perspective that maybe wasn't mine, that I didn't take that on myself. It was a gift, but those kind of things for me, I knew that they were opportunities. And most people say that it's cliche, and maybe it is cliche, and I've heard that enough times. But I decided to make these tragedies an opportunity. And I knew, because here's how I learned this. I remember the first breakup I had. I was probably 14 or 15. I remember walking around crying for like 3 hours in the rain. And I thought, I'm going to focus on football season. It's going to be my senior year, whatever year. And I just remember, just find something to focus on. And that's what happened. So over the course of time, when I had tragedies in my life, maybe a loss of another love, I'd do two things. I'd go to war in my body, attack it in the gym, get in great shape, and I'd go to war in my mind. I'd start reading all kinds of books and all. And within 90 days, I'd build myself into a new person, because spiritually it would course correct, because intellectually I poured knowledge in my brain and I got my body in great shape. So I just realized, hey, we have control.
Yeah.
We have control.
Yeah. And that's what the globalists fear the most, is mm-hmm. people having that realization that you have control. Yeah. And by the way, your name, Patriot Street Fighter, you know, your nickname, you're not actually street fighting people. I mean, we went out to lunch. I didn't see you beating up anybody.
I'm the nicest, most polite guy out there in the street anywhere. I don't get in street fights. Yeah, people just go out and get in street fights. I mean, look, there's all kinds of reasons that happens. To me, that's the last resort. I'm not looking to go out. Look, go mono a mono with me. I got enough metal in me to build a bicycle. Great. If you beat me up, what are you going to say? Hey, I just beat up this crippled Girl Scout. Wow, what a badge of honor that is. Now, you know, I might have some other things to take care of, altercations these days that, that I never find myself at a disadvantage. But if I am a street fighter, I'm fighting the scumbags, the politicians, the bankers, the globalists. I'm fighting them Patriot Street Fighter style, throwing every verbal weapon I've got at them, because I can't get at them any other ways. And that's really what it is. It's me. I'm a patriot, no doubt about it. And I'm fighting this, I guess you'd say, Donald Trump style, street fighter style. Yeah. Call these guys scumbags, everything that they are. Let people know they shouldn't be feared or revered. They're freaking scumbags and they're chicken shit cowards. And that's why they hide behind walls, behind laws, behind bribed judges. They hide behind everything they can hide behind so they don't have to go toe-to-toe with us.
That's right.
Well, that's really what it is.
Well, yep. All right, folks. So you heard it. Patriot Street Fighter, Scott McKay here. ScottMcKay.us, correct?
Yep.
And check out his work. And again, just remember, Scott and I are going to have some different takes on things, and that's totally great. Like you'll
bounce stuff off of each other for this reason.
Do.
What's your viewpoint?
Exactly.
To figure out, because I need to be aware of things that I'm not aware of. Same with you.
Yep. And we have different circles of sources or interviewees and things like that. Right. And that's great. It's like a couple of different universes of information coming together. So
I just know we wake up enough patriot street fighters in the world willing to fight, then I know you'll be in my camp saying, wow, we have reason to be so optimistic, because the people are ready to fight. And once everybody's ready to fight, they're done. It'll happen fast. They're gone fast. Like I'm talking in the ground. They're gone.
Yeah. Well, long term, I mean, I'm optimistic about who wins in the end. It's just that I happen to think the globalists are going to kill a few billion people in the meantime, but that's just me. But I think humanity wins too. So I agree with you on that point.
Yeah.
It's going to be rough though.
I could be, I think it could be, again, none of us know exactly the flow of it.
That's right.
I just believe that if I keep dumping fuel on this fire of growing human consciousness where people are waking up, it's eventually going to be so combustible. It's going to be a bomb going off. And it's going to create an energy, a shockwave where everybody wants to get in on this thing and say, let's go get the scumbags. And it's a geometric progression. It's not an arithmetic progression when it happens. It doesn't come on sequentially. When it starts to go, it's like the acceleration
like
is massive. Yeah, critical mass.
Exactly.
We hit critical mass. It's over. They're done.
Good point. Well, I hope that happens soon so that humanity can be set free.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, folks, check out scottmckay.us and check out everything you got going there. Scott, and thank you for joining me today. It's been a lot of fun having you here.
Thank you for a great day. I'm so glad I came. I had a blast, and you are just being a chance to be your friend and professionally get connected with you is an honor. Trust me. It really is for me.
That's awesome. Two Texans here. Finally getting to meet in person for the first time.
Yeah.
After all this.
What a great day.
Texans and Americans, you know,
exactly.
We're patriots. All right, folks, that's the recording for you there. Enjoy just sharing this podcast if you'd like. You're free to share it. And check out my other situation update podcasts at brighteon.com. And the channel is Health Ranger Report. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for listening. Take care.